Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. In a little more than 1 week's time, I begin sabbatical. And part of that sabbatical time, Lee and I will spend in northern Michigan on the Keweenaw Peninsula, one of my very favorite places on earth. And on the Keweenaw, there is a hill called Mount Baldy by the locals, because the ubiquitous forest thins at the rocky summit of the hill, and from up there, you can see for miles. There was a time, many years ago, when I was going through kind of a rough patch in personal and pastoral and professional life, and I made the hike up to the top of Baldy. And when I got there, I found a nice spot amongst the blueberries, and I just sat there for the longest time, looking at the landscape. I looked out over Lake Superior, watching all the different shades of blue blending into each other as the water moved. I looked back over the hills of the interior and all the different shades of green in the forest canopy. I picked out places I knew, the town of Eagle Harbor, the highway to Copper Harbor, Mount Brockway, the next hill in the chain to the east, and off to the west, the dunes climbing up behind the Great Sand Bay. Now, I knew all of those places. I had been to all of those places. I'd seen them up close and personal. But from Mount Baldy, I could see them all together, in relationship to each other. And seeing them in their places in relationship gave me a sense of my place in relationship also, a sense of my place in the lay of the land, my place in the midst of things. And I realized that outer landscape was serving as a kind of spiritual metaphor for my inner landscape. Here was a place of hope, here a place of fear. Over there was a spot of pain, up here was a place of joy. And I felt, if I could see all those things together in relationship, then I could know my place and my way through all of them. Climbing up that hill gave me a sense of perspective on life, on outer life and on inner life also. And with that sense of perspective, I felt like I had the strength to go on. Now, I think something like that is happening in this Transfiguration story, which we read on the Feast of the Transfiguration. Luke says that Jesus took Peter and James and John and went up on a high mountain to pray. And at this point in the story, Jesus has a lot to pray about. This is a major turning point in the gospel story, a major turning point in Jesus' ministry and in his very life. Up to this point in the gospel story, Jesus' mission has all been concentrated in the north, in Galilee and the surrounding territories. He's been traveling from town to town, preaching, teaching, healing people, casting out unclean spirits, gathering disciples, forming a community of people who love each other and love God as a way of life like they've never lived before. Jesus has been teaching people that God loves them and that what God wants for them is to live lives of justice and peace, right relationships for shared well-being, compassion, and love. What God wants for them is to live and to live abundantly. Jesus has been teaching all this, and more than that, he has been demonstrating it in his own love. Jesus is not afraid to be seen with sinners. Jesus extends his table fellowship to the outcast and the marginalized and the forgotten. Jesus has gathered a community of disciples where rich and poor, sinners and saints, the powerful and the powerless, are all joined together in a radical equality where each one has gifts to offer and each one has needs to be fulfilled. Jesus has been showing the people that God is with them here and now in the midst of things. And their lives can be richer and fuller and more abundant and more full of love and more holy because they can live in God. And this ministry of Jesus, this life-giving mission of Jesus, has been attracting a lot of attention up to this point in the story. Huge crowds have come to hear Jesus and to learn from him this way of life. The poor and the outcast have discovered great hope in Jesus. But others have noticed Jesus too. Herod, the client king who ran Galilee on behalf of the Roman imperial government, Herod, who had John the Baptist killed because John criticized his morals, Herod has heard about Jesus. And Herod has begun to wonder if maybe he will have to silence Jesus the way he silenced John. The ruling party of the Sadducees, who run the temple in Jerusalem, have heard about Jesus, and they're not sure that his teaching is the right kind of teaching. They've sent representatives to check out Jesus and to see if there is some way they can trap him in his talk, some way they can bring charges against him that will shut him up. The powers that be find the message that Jesus is giving of inclusive love, they find that message threatening. They fear that Jesus' way of radical equality in God will undermine their kind of power. And so they begin to want to see Jesus stopped. That is the situation at the start of the Transfiguration story. That is the lay of the land that Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray about. I think Jesus knows the time has come for him to leave Galilee and go to Jerusalem and confront the powers that be with his witness to God's inclusive love. But I think Jesus also knows that the powers that be are very powerful, and they will not take the message of justice and peace lightly. And I think Jesus knows his witness to God's inclusive love is going to get him rejected, humiliated, tortured, and executed. He's told his disciples as much. I think Jesus knows the powers that be are going to win. Now, I think Jesus also genuinely believes in God's promise to raise him up on the third day. But personally, as I imagine Jesus, I think even believing in that promise would not make it any less daunting to face the threat of pain and loss and death. So I think the promise, the pain, the hope, maybe even some fear, are all in Jesus' heart when he goes up the mountain to pray, when he goes up to locate himself in that landscape, when he goes to get some perspective on his life and his mission and how he can go on. So Jesus goes up the mountain to pray. And the way God responds to that prayer is the most remarkable thing in this entire story. Because God does not just tell Jesus what to do, to go to Jerusalem and be strong, as if God is somehow passive in all of this, merely sitting up in heaven and watching as Jesus does what he's told. No, God comes to be with Jesus, to be present in Jesus, to act in Jesus even as Jesus acts. God allows Moses and Elijah to appear to Jesus, both of them leaders in their own time who had to confront the power of the powers that be. And the three of them talk about Jesus' departure. Exodus is the word in Greek, which of course is a word full of powerful religious meaning. The three of them talk about what Jesus will accomplish in Jerusalem. Not suffer, accomplish. But more than that, God himself shines in Jesus as resplendent light. God fills Jesus with divine light and courage and love and strength so that human work and divine work work together in Jesus. And that's what makes him able to do what must be done. Jesus went up on the mountain to see his life in perspective, and on the mountain he saw his life in God's perspective. And in God's perspective, he saw himself empowered to go on. And that is the part of the story that I think speaks most directly to us today. Because this transfiguration story is not just an account of a miraculous something that happened once to Jesus a long time ago. This transfiguration story is a kind of parable of prayer. It's an invitation to us to be like Jesus ourselves, to go up on a mountaintop in our hearts, to try to see our lives in God's perspective, and to know that God is with us and God empowers us to do the things we need to do in our lives to serve God's mission. This gospel is an invitation to us to pray like Jesus prays, so that we can live like Jesus lives. This gospel is a call to us to believe and to trust that when we pray, whenever we pray, God enlightens us so that our work and God's work work together to create moments of peace, moments of justice, moments of joy, moments of beauty, moments of rest, moments of compassion, moments of love, moments of abundant life. That is the good news for us today. That is the mystery of this feast of the Transfiguration. That is the meaning of the Holy Communion that we share. And that is God's goodwill for each one of us, today and every day. Amen.